This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Ayman. And we're moving on to our next story, which is about protecting trademarks and intellectual property and what that means for entrepreneurs in Malaysia. This is coming after the Trademarks Act 2019 came to force last month. It is also coming after we had a discussion a little bit earlier about, I suppose, how to convincingly craft a brand, right? Yeah. So it's somewhat related.
Yeah. So so this new act that's coming to place, that came to place last month, so it replaces the older version from 1976. And from what I gather, one of the key features in it is that it follows the Madrid Protocol. And that means that Malaysian entrepreneurs can protect their brands in something like 120 countries. And these are countries who accede to this Madrid Protocol. And these countries include the US, the UK, Australia, and most of ASEAN except for Myanmar. So all it takes is a single application with MyIPO to register these local brands. And, you know, this is protected. This will be protected in other countries as well.
Yeah, which is great, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to having to file individual applications in different countries and slowly try and get those protections.
Taking a lot of cost as well.
Yeah, exactly. So the other cool thing is that entrepreneurs can also trademark intangible materials like sound, scent and sequence of motions that could be graphically presented. Now, the Domestic Trade Affairs and Consumerism Minister Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution has said the government does expect an increase in trademark and intellectual property applications over the next few months because the Act recognizes these non-traditional trademarks.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of a study that was released sometime last year, which basically highlighted the importance of IP protection, trademark protection in terms of development. So so by strengthening the legal framework for registering IPs and trademarks, it will help foreign investors to invest in the country. They know that whatever innovations they come up with will be secured. If people try to copy it, you know, there will be repercussions to it. So this is a positive move towards encouraging entrepreneurship and strengthening investment into the country, which will lead to, you know, a more rapid development, at least in terms of encouraging people to get into entrepreneurship and allowing them to increase their income as well.
I think this is especially true when you're looking at a region like Southeast Asia, where we're a block of sorts, we're an economic block of sorts. But more importantly, I think what happens is that when people enter our market, they're also always considering the markets of our neighboring countries because we are so densely clustered together. And so being able to provide those protections and being able to do that in a relatively seamless fashion, at least from the sounds of it, is going to be an important part of an important addition to the allure, I suppose, that investment might hold. So if you have thoughts or questions on the new Trademark Act, if you've trademarked something in particular, let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be back to speak to Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, to weigh in on this. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:44 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Ayman, and we're talking about protecting trademarks and intellectual property, how it can drive entrepreneurship in our country, and how the Trademarks Act 2019 is hopefully going to assist in all of this. Now, we're crossing over to Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, who focuses on matters relating to intellectual property and technology. Swaran, thank you so much for joining us. So earlier, we kind of walked through some of the main features, I suppose, of the 2019 Act. But could you take us through, broadly speaking, how the new Act is different from its predecessor?
Well, the 2019 Act does quite a fair number of things that departs from the existing or the previous legislation for trademarks in the country. So, for example, the major thing that was done was the implementation of the Madrid Protocol, which basically what it really means is that now anyone applying in Malaysia for a trademark and has a global reach. He or she is able to make an application here and pick the countries around the world that are part of the Madrid Treaty to then have the trademarks registered there. Of course, there are processes, procedures here and there that vary. But that's the major thing that was done. Other than that, some of the other or the bigger highlights also include the trademark infringement test has changed. And now another recognition has been given to the trademark as a kind of a securable interest. You can register it as a security. And even when it comes to examination of whether a trademark ought to be registered, the trademark registry is able to now examine it using a different set of parameters compared to what they've been doing all this time. So there are huge differences between the early legislation, and there's been a movement towards a new way of how trademark laws ought to be recognized, implemented, and how the brands are protected.
So just looking into that in more detail, right, what are the broader benefits of following the Madrid Protocol, and are there pros and cons to it?
Yeah, so overall, there are broader benefits that follows the implementation of the Madrid Protocol. And as all things in life, there are always, you know, pros and cons to all things. So let's start with how the Madrid Protocol benefits the trademark registration in the country. So, for example, previously you had registrations for trademark that had to be done separately in Malaysia and for other countries. But now there's a unified global application system of sorts, which means that, you know, you start, the parent application is made in the Malaysian trademark office, and then you are able to pick the countries in which you want to protect your trademark. That's one of the major benefits. As a result of that, the cost comes down if you compare having to individually appoint an agent in other countries, which will cost you separate fees for that agent, separate processes, so on and so forth. But now with Madrid, you bypass all of that and basically go into the national registry of that country you want to go into. There are also common filing forms that helps with the application process. As you know, each country would have different ways of applying for a trademark, but with Madrid, those things are standardized. Another aspect to note would be that it becomes easier to manage portfolio, especially a client or a trademark owner that has a big family of trademarks. That person would be able to then keep track of one registration date, one common renewal date. So in that sense, you know, it becomes a far easier thing to manage. And to answer the second part of your question, are there drawbacks? One of the biggest drawbacks is something that is known as a central attack. Now, what that basically means is that if the parent application, the one that started it all, comes under attack, and if that attack succeeds, whether the attack is happening at the trademark registry level or subsequently in the court, then that attack, if successful, will destroy that parent application as well as all the other applications that have been made pursuant to that. And you need to withstand that attack for 5 years or so. 5 years, that's what the legislation provides. So that would be the downside to it. But I suppose if the trademark is a solid mark, is able to withstand the attack in Malaysia, the national country or the parent country where the applications first started, then, you know, it should be all right.
So the other thing I think about this act is that it recognizes non-traditional trademarks. Can you give us some examples of these?
Yeah, so this is the most exciting part of the legislation for at least the lawyers, because, you know, you get to experiment with all kinds of different trademarks. You know, all this time we are pretty much stuck to the what we can see, the word marks and the pattern marks. But this opens up a whole new world. So for the trademark lawyers, it's very exciting. So for example, some instances would be, it protects non-traditional marks like sounds, shapes, 3D shapes, colors, scents or smells. So for instance, let me give you examples of these things that have been registered in other places, in other parts of the world. So you have the Toblerone chocolate, the shape of the chocolate, the triangular shape, which has looks like a carved up pyramid and sliced into a few bits and put into a row. And that is protected as a shape and recognized as a trademark by itself. And then you also have the scent of the Play-Doh, that children, you know, children's toy. So the very significant or memorable smell of that Play-Doh becomes protected and is protected in some other countries in the worldwide. Colors, some examples would be the Tiffany turquoise, that is protected as a trademark for that brand. So just the color alone, without the name Tiffany, gives them protection already. So no other person can use that color in the class of jewelry or in, you know, in accessories, for example. Some other colors would be the purple for Cadbury, that is distinctive purple, and also the shade of orange in the Orange Telco brand you have in UK. And a sound, an example of that would be the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer sound, the Lion Roar. You see in the beginning of a movie production, you have that sound, the roar, that's protected. The Harley Davidson roar of, or the revving of the bike is also protected. And I believe the Intel, that jingle that you hear in the beginning, it was, and I believe Netflix, that two-beat note you have, the drum beat, is also protected in some countries. So these are some examples of these additional, non-traditional, non-conventional marks out there. And I'm sure you can think of a few in the Malaysian context.
Mm. The new act also revamps provisions dealing with trademark infringement. Could you walk us through the changes and what significance they will have?
Sure. The trademark infringement side will appease the litigators out there because, you know, it's a fertile ground for litigation in trademark litigation in court. So, for instance, what has happened is that the trademark infringement now looks at infringement in a totally different way. There are some similarities to the earlier legislation, but only in one aspect of it. So, simply put, what needs to be done now is that the comparison, previously you compare the goods and the marks, and then you see whether there's a likelihood of confusion. But right now, the main difference that has occurred is that in the event the marks, the registered mark and the offending mark are identical, and the goods for which the mark is registered and the offending goods are identical, if both marks and the goods are identical, you need not show confusion anymore. By virtue of the identity of the goods and the trademark, it becomes a prima facie infringement. So that would be one of the main differences that has occurred. The second aspect of it is that if the mark is identical but the goods are similar, or the marks are similar but the goods are identical, then you still go back to the traditional test of confusion. However, one difference that has also occurred is that previously there has to be some kind of similarity of the registered goods and the goods that are offending. But under the new legislation, there's a bit more liberal application of that requirement. So that would mean that it would be somewhat more convenient for the brand owner to try to establish a case, but it has its fair amount of challenges because I do see some principles from the existing case law probably seeping their way through into the application of the new infringement test. But there is quite a movement from the old to the new.
So overall then, who does the new Act seem to benefit more?
I would say, looking at the Act prima facie, on the face of it, it would benefit the brand owners, the person who's the entity or the person that's trying to move a product and a brand in the market, for various reasons. One is that you're able to register more. The ability to register becomes increased because you're open, that the whole world opens up to you. So it definitely benefits a brand owner. And also now, besides just confining yourself to the traditional word marks, you're now able to open up the non-traditional marks, as I mentioned, color, sound, sense, and whatnot. And also, a trademark owner will be motivated to register a trademark because it now becomes a securable interest. So you can use it as a form of security for your transactions, for a corporate takeover or a corporate restructuring in a company. That becomes an asset that can be traded and can be secured. That becomes very valuable to the business organizations out there, especially in a group of company situation. You are then able to have a very high value to what you're able to sell. And all of this put together, it gives you a global reach, and therefore for a brand owner, it just opens up a lot more opportunities for them.
And with this new act in place, do you expect more Malaysian entrepreneurs to register their trademarks and IPs, and will there be a greater momentum for that to happen?
There would be the momentum provided they're aware of what it is that the new act does for them. The problem with the most Malaysian entrepreneurs is that they only look at one thing, which is cost versus what they get. So for many Malaysian entrepreneurs, protection of IP rights is bottom of the list. They just want to get the ground can get off the ground with their business and start making some kind of a, you know, decent revenue. So trademark rights, IP rights are not, you know, very high in their list of things that need to be done. However, what I would say is that because now a brand becomes of value due to the fact that it can be secured, so the quicker you register a brand, and you want to do that because you want to get the earliest date of registration, so no one else then takes advantage of that and tries to, you know, live off your good name. So the awareness, once it gets out to the entrepreneurs to tell them that, look, once you do this, you're able to then, you know, register elsewhere in the world quick, you know, in a far quicker way, should be able to get them to be sufficiently motivated. Another reason also would be the 5-year central attack I was telling you about. For an entrepreneur, I think the business only takes off in the second or third year. So the sooner they register a mark, the sooner the 5-year sort of central attack limitation period to carry that out will start to run. And by the 5th year, they would be out, you know, away from that sort of threat looming when the business really takes off. So in that sense, it's better to do it sooner and get that going and also reduce the risk of being centrally attacked when the business does take off and become very profitable. So I think many of the entrepreneurs need to be aware of this benefit and why they need to, you know, pitch their tent and plant their flag as soon as they can.
Swaran, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, talking to us about the sort of brand spanking new Trademarks Act 2019, new enough. It came into force last month. If you have any thoughts, if you are currently trying to trademark something, especially if you're trying to trademark some intangible material, or if you have example of an intangible trademark. Earlier we heard Swaran talking about the Tiffany Blue. If you can think of other things, let us know what they are. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018 789 8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.